Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Heat up your backyard with a new fire pit. Our fire pit bundle includes everything you need. Concrete landscape blocks, steel ring insert, pea gravel, and adhesive. All bundled together to make your project quick and easy. Visit us today in store or on Menards.com and save big on our full selection of fire pit projects and accessories today.
Save big money at Menards.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
There are certain moments where the cover story becomes more suspicious than the crime itself. And with Jeffrey Epstein, we've reached that point, and then some. Today's conversation is less about the mythical Epstein list and more about what the reaction to it tells us. Because when the most powerful people in the room start acting real squirrely, dodging questions, shutting down conversations, or casually dismissing the biggest sex trafficking scandal of our generation, you gotta ask, what are they really trying to avoid? Robin Dreeke is back with me today. He's a former chief of the FBI's Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program and an expert on spotting the why behind the what. In this episode, we're not just analyzing facts, we're analyzing behavioral shifts at the highest levels of power. And folks, when Trump, Mr. Never Misses a Mic, suddenly goes dead quiet the moment Epstein's name is mentioned, or tries to deflect immediately, you better believe that's a spike in the data worth paying attention to. We dig into the psychology of avoidance, the art of plausible deniability, the government's habit of playing fast and loose with language, where list doesn't mean list, where video footage means blurry hallway cams missing a minute, and suicide apparently now includes broken bones and zero functioning cameras. Robin brings real-world intel analysis into the discussion, breaking down why the FBI isn't commenting. Not because they're hiding something, but because they were likely never given the damn evidence to begin with. If there's a list or data, it may be bottlenecked. So far up the chain that no one in the Bureau has even seen it. This is one of the most brutally honest conversations we've had on the Epstein case, and if you think the official silence is just about caution, not strategy, this episode will make you think twice. So here's where we start. Robin, when you watched Trump brush off the Epstein question like it was beneath him, what did that signal to you as a behavioral expert? Not political, just someone who's trained to spot the cracks. No matter how much there's push or discussion of this, it's just like it doesn't. This is never going to do any good. It's never going to come out. If somebody doesn't want it to come out, that's in that level of power. But the reason I still lean far more into conspiracy is just watching the behavior of people. And I felt like Trump's reaction to it the other day when he was in that cabinet meeting, and I think it was Pam Bondi that was starting to speak. Maybe I'm wrong on who that was.
Right.
And then he interrupts. Are we still talking? I don't do a good Trump. Are we still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? Of course we are. Of course we are. Well, that's old. It's like a parent coming into the room. Are you guys still talking about cupcakes? Oh, we're going to have ice cream cake later from Dairy Queen. We don't. It was so. You know, pandering and belittling, I think, to the intelligence of human beings that, oh, you just saying, why would we be talking about this? Let's move on. I mean, it was insane, like so many things. But it was just that to me says there is a list and your ass is on it.
OK, so I'm with you on this. The behaviors that have a spike. So remember, so let's assess, you know, move politics aside. Let's assess Trump. It was weird for him not to talk about something because you bring up any topic and he'll go on and on and on. Best thing ever. I mean, so see what I mean? So yeah, I totally agree. That was a spike, Tony. And so, but here's what, I'm going to go on top of your conjecture.
Sure.
So you said it, to you that was indicative that there actually is a list.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, because I'm going to hold to, I'm not thinking there's necessary, a list has been defined.
Maybe not per se list, but there's information that you there's know more. Damn well you don't want to get out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so that, I'm and, with that. I think there's more to this than the public knows that they don't want to share. That. So I'm definitely down that road. But when it comes to the granularity of is where's the list of 150 people? Maybe, but I think there's definitely more that they're not sharing because you're right. Why else move on so fast when he actually will pontificate for hours on end about absolutely everything?
Maybe we should call it data and not a list, you know?
Yes, I love it.
Where's the Jeffrey Epstein data? Because
that
exists.
There's more data points of what happened that we don't know of.
Because it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, especially like liars and narcissistic type people, they'll play word salad games. And well, you didn't say that specifically. You said list. So you're referring to this list, and that list doesn't exist. But this chart over here, this flow chart.
Which is that, exactly what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm doing that exactly. I was like, you didn't say list. It's exactly. Not a list, but there's more there.
So, I mean, that may very well be just exactly what's going on. It's like, well, you didn't call it a list, so how would I know? It's just playing fast and loose with the term.
Right.
So I imagine something like that is going on. But
I agree.
I agree.
Yep.
Nonetheless, another thing that the public looks at and goes, huh? Come on.
See, and that's me when this thing hit and this thing broke, that's what hit me out of everything. The existence of a list didn't bother me. All these things didn't bother me. What I saw was yet again, loss of trust and faith in an institution that we need to trust in order to protect our national security and our civil rights. And, you know, so half the country lost it under the last administration because of the way the other side was covering it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it just flipped again.
Yeah, it did. The thing that then it comes back to again is now we suddenly have another tape. Now we have this other video that is missing a minute, but that's just how the camera works. So look, nothing to see here. And maybe it is how the camera works, but for the love of God, it looks really weird. And it doesn't really show much of anything. It shows his head as he's walking to his cell. Right. So, okay, you added more mystery and nothing really of value to this. The bigger question is, why did you have no working cameras on that cell? You have one of the most infamous, famous, you know, prisoners at this moment in time in the U.S. and nobody's paying attention. Guards are literally able to take breaks and not keep their eye on this guy, and he's able to kill himself. That, again, it's just an insane story. I mean, I could see him killing himself. I could, to a level of, you know, if you don't do it yourself, we are going to come in and find a way to do it for you because of who's on this list. Or, you know, I mean, essentially, is that suicide, though? If you know, that is how he killed himself. What was the reasoning? Was it because he really wanted to, or because, you know, it was going to be something else if not? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think we ever will. And I think there's a reason we never will.
I agree with you, Tony. This one is so difficult and challenging because the data points, I mean, understanding how inept government organizations and institutions can be, I can understand all the rationale they gave about how X, Y, and Z happened, how he could have killed himself because they weren't watching him, because of cameras not working. Understanding how things are broken and not working and people being lazy, not doing their jobs, I totally see that. I saw it every day.
Yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me. But at the same time, it begs that question, well, high profile guy, why wouldn't they have given him more resources? People been on their toes and all that.
Yeah.
And at the same time, now we look at the behavior of Epstein.
Yeah.
From everything I've read and understood, it's a spike for him to even entertain the thought of committing suicide, yeah, because people in his life are saying he wasn't even entertaining it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or so see what I mean? So that behavior itself. So let's move away from the ineptitude. Let's just move on to Epstein himself. It doesn't quite make sense. It's a big spike in behavior of what you would have expected unless someone was bumping him off. Because so it's so all over the place, which means we don't have all the facts.
And let me ask this. Like, when investigating something like this, because the idea of a conspiracy would require so many people to be in on this. And I don't think you can pull that off. So when you have investigators, I mean, when you have leaders in the FBI coming out and speaking and saying, no, there is no list, people who otherwise, you know, I think are surprised by this. I don't know that it's them sitting there going, okay, well, we got the orders to cover this up. I just don't think they ever got the list. Like, like they never even got the information to consider. So they can't say exists because they never saw it. It's like it's being stopped somewhere way up here before it even gets to the FBI, before it gets to the investigators. So for them to say there is no list, they probably are speaking the truth of what they actually have in front of them. I don't think they're sitting there going, got to keep this secret. I think that would be something anyone would be capable of for a long period of time.
Guaranteed. And matter of fact, you know, I mean, I wasn't high ranking in the FBI, but I was at headquarters for a while. And what I just went through with you all about how I'd assess this from a managerial and executive level is like, all right, so they're talking about us having this list or not having a list. Glenn, let's go to ground truth. Where did this list start? Exactly what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so what generally goes on inside, you know, public affairs and public image and stuff like that in institutions, organizations like the Bureau is once you figure out whether it's truth or not truth that people want information on, in other words, if it's pure conjecture, there's nothing to comment on.
Mm-hmm.
It's hearsay. And first of all, the Bureau doesn't comment on cases anyway.
Sure.
But the second thing they don't do is they don't make a public statement on hearsay, because then all of a sudden, if people are making a public statement on hearsay, on what social media is saying, you're going to be overwhelmed with constant chatter of having to diffuse shit people make up.
Yeah.
Because, in other words, I think they believed it was something made up, this list. That's why there's no comment on it. Because once you open that Pandora's box, they're going to comment on everything.
So here's the uncomfortable truth. Maybe there is no list, or maybe there is, and it's radioactive. Either way, what we're left with is government that has successfully trained the public to stop expecting real answers. And that's the real damage. What Robin and I unpacked here goes way beyond Epstein. It's about the behavioral patterns of institutions under stress and the people inside them who are more invested in optics than truth. We talked about manufactured ambiguity, how definitions shift, how silence is weaponized, and how plausible deniability is no longer the exception. It's the operating system. We also hit something I think is critical, the psychology of a society that's been lied to so often for so long that we now expect to be gaslit. It's not just that we doubt the answers. We doubt the questions itself will ever be treated seriously. That's why moments like Trump's casually waving off Epstein in a room full of high-level officials hit so hard. It wasn't just a political deflection. It was a performance dismissal, designed to reset the narrative and downplay the danger of the topic altogether. And honestly, it's telling that nobody in the room pushed back. Robin reminded us that the FBI doesn't usually comment on hearsay. But what happens when hearsay keeps sounding more logical than the official version? What happens when the gaps in the story start looking like strategy, not coincidence? We don't have proof that Epstein was murdered, but we do have a mountain of behavioral indicators that suggest someone, somewhere, was working very hard to make sure certain data never saw the light of day. So no, maybe there's not a list printed out on some locked drawer, but the data, it exists. And the way the people in power keep shifting their posture, redefining terms, changing narratives, disappearing cameras and surveillance tapes, and internal memos tells us everything we need to know. And maybe the real question isn't where's the list. Maybe it's who benefits from pretending it was never there in the first place. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. That's where we like to take comments and interact and talk. So if you're not there already, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi so you can join in that conversation and comment on any of the cases we're covering here for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. And please hit subscribe while you're there. If you're there right now going, I liked this, this is interesting, hit subscribe, please, and thank you. Same thing on the podcast platforms. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss any of that reporting. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, and we will talk again very, very soon.
The latest true crime stories, expert breakdowns, and shocking twists all in one place. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.